All right, well, let's grab our Bibles and get to Ecclesiastes tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Thank you for waiting for the last 20 months or whatever it is since we've started the book of Ecclesiastes to get to this part. We're finally coming to the good stuff, all right? Not that the other stuff wasn't good, but it was depressing, all right? He has been at every possible angle and viewpoint, been looking at life under the sun without God, trying to draw the listener, and as we've set up many times, that listener probably was some emissary from a foreign land that didn't know about Jehovah God. And he was using the circumstances of life and life without God and it's just darkness to help draw that soul to come to trust Jehovah as his God and see that life is worth living, life is meaningful, life does have an eternal end. It doesn't stop at the grave. So we had those last major questions in chapter 9 that we've taken the last 3 weeks to discuss. You remember the listener had come, as we come to the beginning of chapter 9, and said, all right, I'll let God be my equation, but I've got some questions to ask you about this thing. At the end of the day, okay, so you say your God is good, that your God is providing a way of salvation. Well, then why do we still all die? Good question, all right? And Solomon addressed that at the beginning of chapter 9. He didn't totally answer it yet, but he addressed it and said, no, there's something beyond death. They have eternity written in their hearts. And then he brought up, well, it seems like in this life, this is the listener again, it seems like time and chance happens to us all. And time and chance win. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to why in this life it looks like something good happens to somebody and something bad happens to somebody good. Why does that happen? And that just doesn't seem fair. And Solomon says, outside of the Lord's perspective, that's right. But actually, God is the one that designs our life, all right? And then, of course, what we looked at last week, does God really even care? If even when I do something wise or give wise counsel, remember like that poor man in the small city who redeemed the city through his wise counsel against the great, great king, then no one remembered him. It's like, why even follow wisdom's path? You say God's way is wise. Okay, fine, but it looks like to me like God doesn't really even care about me. Because even when we use God's wisdom on earth, everyone forgets it anyway. Does God really even care? And Solomon continues to give the desire put out. Yes, he does. This is not time and chance. That truth is timeless. It has eternal value. It's not just for this life. God does care, is his quiet answer at the end of chapter 9. Not full answer yet. We're coming to full answer finally, starting in chapter 10. So you can see here, and chapter 10 really goes all together, but there was no way, I knew there was no way I was going to get through the whole chapter tonight. Didn't even try, all right? Because there's a lot to unpack here. So one of the things, again, that happens in poetry, even in our English poetry, why is it that in literature class, we study, you know, you get in high school and they study poetry. I hope your school or where your kids go still does that, because it's really critical for their critical thinking. So poetry is packed really tightly. In a few words, it says a lot. Make sense? And it uses rhyme, it uses meter to help us to think about it. And so when you study a poem, usually you don't get all the sense or the meaning of it the first time around. You catch some things, but then it's like you've got to follow all the clues that the poet gives you in the poem to finally figure out, oh, that's what he's saying. And that's why we have teachers and they explain it all. All right, okay, so here we come to chapter 10. And good wisdom now, and you can see under the title on our page here, under Ecclesiastes 10, 1 through 11, good wisdom to lead and to live a God-filled life, all right? So chapter 10, at the surface of it, nice Hebrew poetry written somewhat in a proverbial form. A lot of these are going to sound like you're reading the book of Proverbs. And it's like you say, well, what's that have to do with anything? Okay, yeah, this is all good, I get it. But why did Solomon include this right here, right now? Well, there's a, in my opinion, a very strong answer of why he put it right here, right now. The listener is finally going to say, okay, I'll listen to your God and your wisdom. And so now Solomon says, aha, I finally have the opportunity to begin to share truth, eternal truth, with this earthling that's finally opened his heart and mind to the idea that God is good and that there's something beyond this life that's worth living for. But unlike us Americans, who, you know, we have this tendency, you stop and think of how we play sports, how we eat our meals. We go for the jugular every time, don't we? Okay, the guys understand it here, right? Why is it that America created football? Because we're going for the jugular every time, all right? It's like, smack, go get him, all right? And we sometimes attack a sinner the same way, all right? Now, in our culture and our time, that may not be really the bad thing to do because we're used to it. We communicate that way in our culture. But that's not the way they did it back then, okay? And so, again, remember the thought of the Hebrew mindset, the Eastern mindset, is the truth is right here. Or maybe put it on a dot. And they always attack it by coming in slowly, slowly to the middle to finally get there. And that's what chapter 10 is all about. All these proverbs are the large outer circles that are slowly working us down to, literally, all the way to chapter 12, the last, like, three verses. So we've got three chapters to go through before we finally hit the truth smack dab. And really, what we do is at the end of chapter 12 is the final invitation. He's given us all the truth that we need to know to make the decision to say, I will follow God. Now, you understand, this is Old Testament setting. This is not New Testament gospel. But it is still evangelism. It's still drawing someone to come to God as his Redeemer and his King, all right? The one he'll worship. So that's where we're at in chapter 10. So therefore, now, all right, all of that to give you the background. So when we come to chapter 10 here, these proverbs, these truths are going to present truth that the listener, the unsaved listener, needs to make a decision to follow God, to become a disciple of God. But it is also truth that every disciple of Jesus Christ, or every disciple of God in the Old Testament, should be living out in their life. That's why it seems to us like, what's this doing here? It seems very practical, reasonable stuff for us. It is. It is. And these are truths for us to continue to live by. So, another final introductory truth before we get to the study, all right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The other principle so we get that. So he's giving them the word of God, God's wisdom to come to faith. But how do we live as believers? The just shall live by faith. And when we talk about faith here, sometimes to our American mind, maybe, I don't know if it's American mind or just our thinking, when we think of faith, we only think of the act of accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the act of salvation. And that, it really is only a fraction of what the Lord intends for us to understand when he talks about the word faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Our faith, what we believe, would be a synonym to the word faith. What we believe starts at salvation. That's the beginning point. But there's a lot of maturing, maturation that goes on from that point. That's why Christ uses the illustration of you must be born again. That's the beginning point, but it's not the end point. It's just the beginning. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, my life needs to be characterized by faith. Now, what do we mean by that faith? We're not simply talking about the action of putting trust in God. We're also talking about the development of what we believe, our doctrinal system. When we talk about our church constitution, and then we have the articles of faith. Well, those articles of faith, you're all members, so you've read them over. Maybe you should read them again, okay? All right? They don't just talk about salvation. They talk about salvation, but they talk about a lot more. And in fact, we have, in my opinion, one of the richest, most powerful church covenants of any church constitution I've read. If you haven't read our church covenant again, go back and please read it. Because we covenant together to follow the Lord and His word and avoid sin in our life. It's that potent and that powerful. When I read that, it was like, wow. It was one of the things, as you come in as a pastor and you look over, what are the things that we need to grow on? What do we need to develop? And sometimes it's the Constitution. You know, since I've been here, we've done a few constitutional changes to make sure that we're on par. We've added some things to our articles of faith to deal with our common culture today that we're struggling with, all right? All those things. But when I read that, when I came here, I was like, whoa, we will never change the church covenant. That's a good one. No, it's an expression of our faith. Of what we believe, our full doctrinal belief. So, what Solomon is doing here is what really we should be doing often, even in our evangelism. We become so, unfortunately, so laser focused, so going for the jugular, that we want to share the simple, straight facts of just what it is to get saved. Right? Christ died for you. He rose again the third day. You're a sinner. You need to repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. Will you do that? And in reality, as we walk through Scripture, Old Testament and New, we discover that those that were sharing the faith weren't sharing just the beginning of the faith. They shared a lot of the faith in their evangelism. In many practical ways, I trust that you found yourself doing this in evangelism. And it happens step by step, moment by moment. So as Mark talked about tonight, all right? So dealing with this young man, he had a scripture verse on his shirt. That's a great starting point. It's kind of like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Right? Hey, do you understand what you're reading? Kid, do you know what really it says there? That's great. Wonderful starting point. And that's just the starting point. Often in our sharing of the gospel with unbelievers, we have to cover a lot of truth to give them the full scope. It doesn't necessarily have to be everything, of course, and you understand, since you've come to Christ, you've grown in your understanding of God's word immensely, right? But there was a lot of truth there when you got saved, not just salvation or what some would call gospel truth. The gospel really does include, as Pastor Caleb has said on more than one occasion, not just the plan of salvation. It includes all that God has for us in His Word to live by. The just shall live by faith. Okay, there's the introduction, and our time's almost done, all right? Okay, but I want you to see, so that's what's happening from an Old Testament perspective here in chapter 10. Solomon now is giving truth to this listener that he needs to understand and know to accept God as his Savior and King. But it's also truth that the listener, when he accepts the Lord, will continue to live by too. So it makes good application for us today. Let's start with verse 1 and then I'll be done for tonight, all right? Dead flies causes the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now that's picturesque. Right, we don't usually get involved in the making of perfumes today. We just go down to the store and buy them. Okay, and back then, you know, they didn't have the preservatives and the alcohol content or whatever, you know, that can make a perfume last for 20 million gazillion years. All right, so they'd put these perfumes together, but hey, if it stayed out too long and start to send out a little bit of a smell. Guess what would come? The flies. And then it's downhill from there, right? So that sweet banana turns into rot real fast, all right? Okay, that's the picture. Now, it's applied to, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, Solomon talking to the listener that's not a believer in God yet. Look at our notes. This is how I put it. One may have life put together well. That's the man that has... He's in reputation of wisdom and honor. He seems to... And now, the application here is so important because Solomon more than likely is sharing the gospel, sharing the truth, with some emissary from another land. Candace, Queen of Ethiopia. All right? If you can maybe picture that. She doesn't know God. And now he's talking. So this lady is in reputation of wisdom and honor. I mean, she's the king. Or the queen, I'm sorry. All right? Let's not get mixed up, all right? There we go. She's a she and he's a he. All right? There we go, all right? Okay. The queen, but she's in an honorable position. Her reputation is one of great wisdom and great honor. So one may have life put together well, but if he does not start with the fear of the Lord, there's your blank, with the fear of the Lord, his life will stink. Now, what an amazing first proverb after the first 9 chapters of Ecclesiastes. It's another way of putting life under the sun without God is vain. It's empty. So to put it in a more picturesque term, it stinks without God. It's full of rot. And he's not done with that illustration, really. He's going to go on. I wish I could finish up tonight. I can't. But isn't that amazing? The picture is clear. So even someone in this world that looks like they're wise, they're honorable, but just a little folly. Now, here's the application if the listener's listening. Oh, what would be the folly? Not fearing the Lord. A person in this life may go through their whole life. Their reputation is good. They're honorable. They're a great citizen. They're, in fact, maybe an honorable citizen. They've been in a position of leadership in their nation. They've been sought at for wisdom, how to live life. They come to the end of life, and there's this one fly that's making their life stink, and it's that they have not feared God, and that will ruin them for eternity. I don't want to go to eternity stinking like this. I must fear God. So there's the application for the listener. Now, believer, okay? I told you there's application for the unbeliever and the believer here. Believer, the just shall live by faith. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. How are you living? All right, your eternity is secure. Christ has paid the price for your sin. You've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, but are you still living in the fear of the Lord? You should be. Because if you're not, guess what? God's evaluation of your life is that you stink. And that's not a pleasant evaluation before the Lord. So may we, in every area of our life, live in the fear of the Lord and not stink. Okay, we'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you for what Solomon is doing here. Help us to glean much now as we can make application directly to our own lives as believers, because we are to live by faith. But then as well, may we understand how he in wisdom is using truth to woo the sinner to Christ, to God who would redeem their soul. And Lord, help us to do the same thing. May we unashamedly be Christians, and may the truth of our life as we obey and follow you exude God's goodness and God's graciousness to us and draw people to ask questions. And may we be quick to speak the truth when we're asked about things. May we not hide our Christianity. May we always, like Solomon, be sharing truth that could be used of you to redeem a soul. Lord, help us this week to not stink. May we live in the fear of the Lord. In your name, amen.